Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. Eek. Alright, back. I couldn't take it. I really am hating making these videos. It's just so depressing. And then I said to myself, brain, responds with, what the fuck, why are you, being manipulated by this need for things to work and make sense? Why does winning matter? All that psychology isn't going to get the job done. It's just in your way. And you could say all that stuff, but it doesn't change much because that's how we're made as animals. It's hard to eat food that doesn't fit, your definition of food. Something doesn't smell right or, it's repugnant in some way and you can't really make it unrepugnant, just by words alone, saying them to yourself, some little silly mantra that, everything's going to be all right. And you just, tap your heels 3 times and say there's no place like home and, you can get teleported back into a reasonable place. None of that's going to happen. Anyway, so then you get depressed again. Doubly depressed. So anyway, I was going to, talk about habit. That doesn't say much. I'm in the context of modeling, and that we're all just carrying in our brains a model of reality, okay? And we put things in and we imagine ourselves in that model. How to play the game is certainly, we run it in our imagination. And a lot of that is just the fantasy stuff, whatever your ambition is. You can't even relate to people's ambitions anymore. I can't anyway. Just because it all seems so frivolous and annoying. I mean, even the whatever they call music now seems so exactly the opposite of what I expected to get out of music, was some sort of sense of beauty and it's just not part of the equation for people now. So they obviously have a habit. it's completely different to mine. And I'll call it as I see it. It's they're poo eaters. It's just you. And then we get back to the whole subject of being gapped. And, I'm just not getting how it, the new modern superior perspective of just, I don't know, you can't even describe it. Everything has gotten so dumb, and it's like they're all in some kind of bizarre denial. Everything you say it's politically incorrect. Well, it's so hypocritical. I guess you could say in my generation there was still this idea of the marble man, smoking his cigarette on his horse in the wide open spaces and, dying with his boots on, this kind of thing. And now they have, kind of grossly obese women talking about how fabulous they look, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so funny that, both images of reality were bullshit. But come on, one is even, I don't know. It's Sesame Street versus Teletubbies. They both just don't do the job. They're both not good enough. But one of them's just ridiculously insane. Like, this can't possibly be good for a brain. That Teletubby thing can't possibly do a brain any good, because it doesn't have anything to do with anything real. We're not living in spaceships under astroturf with bunnies hopping on it. But anyway, like I said, I can't even face making these videos anymore. It's just, but it's ridiculous. I mean, I read the comments, and that was a huge mistake. And my comments don't even show up. So you're saying, what the fuck is this? I mean, YouTube in its first year worked better than what YouTube works now, right? I mean, even in its first year, you could type a comment and it showed up. What the fuck is this horse shit? My own comments on my own videos don't show up. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Not. I mean, they just want to terminate you and exterminate you in these little pieces at a time, you know, to make you, and it's just the whole idea that nothing's categorized, nothing's fairly seen. It's just all a cabal. It's all controlled by this stupid company that tells everybody what they're going to believe and what they're going to be exposed to, what's relevant, you know. Just shit. So it's like there's nothing but shit in the way. And it's discouraging. But I know I'm not supposed to be discouraged, but knowing I'm not supposed to be discouraged just doesn't change anything. So again, that's sort of the interesting subject. So in the comments with the modern mystic, who has now resorted to, you know, posting a couple of minutes of my video with some stupid moronic girl talking. So he's taken the audio off and, you know, placed a girl talking over it. And you just saying she has to resort to that. The argument from, you know, Photoshop or Audio Shop or something else. I mean, you can't even make any kind of rational stand-up argument. But anyway, I mean, you can't act like a man, you know, and fight fair. So, you know, that's just gotten so bad that, you know, I mean, how did I think this guy had anything to say? I mean, I barely even pushed. I mean, I barely, you know, just made a few comments, and he just turns into a duplicitous, lying piece of shit. you know, you ask a simple question, you get bullshit as a response. So the simple truth is, you know, sort of getting to the point that our brain has reward and punishment built into it. So there's a part of our brain, okay, that's watching what's taking place, and it's reacting because you're not winning, you know, and it's making you feel bad. Or it's the whole psychology of guilt even, you know, because you can see that in, like, baboons and other animals, wolves, you know, they're pack animals, you know, where there's a whole bunch of ritual, you know, built around the fact that, well, they had a fight with each other, and the fact is there has to be some kind of psychological mechanism to make everything okay so they can go on the next hunt and they're willing to die for each other again. You know, so there has to be some sort of mechanism, you know, that creates all this forgive me, sorry, blah, 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 little bullshit that has to take place so you can get into the next day. And that's all this psychology crap that's overlaid our intelligence. So we have these intelligent thoughts and reasonable perceptions. And unfortunately, we have to have a bunch of mood-killing crap laid on top of that in terms of emotions. So, and it works both ways, I guess. You know, I mean, I'm thinking, like, in a war, it's not going to do you much good if you think you're losing and then you get depressed. It's not going to make you very effective in fighting the war if you feel defeated. You know, so in some ways, it's such a crude mechanism that it doesn't recognize very effectively when it's supposed to make you depressed or when it's supposed to make you angry. You know, and it's provoking the wrong emotion for the wrong circumstance, kind of thing. So I figure I'll talk some about that, but more, I think, you know, about that idea of just, it's a model, and everybody has a slightly, if not profoundly different model of definitions, you know, what's food, what's music, what's entertaining, what's funny, what's sad, you know, what to, just to, all the just to, all the mechanical parts, even, you know, what to, whether there's a fourth dimension or something, and you know, whether you can go to time places, and you know, they have all kinds of notions about what's involved in our reality. And then they, you know, the real nutty ones, you know, cling to some religious crap about some fairy tale village, you know, that you go to, you know, where, you know, it's all ruby encrusted and you're somehow appropriately decorated. You know, it's just so trivial. And this is in light of, you know, people who lived through the plague. You know, there's a rather infamous scientist, Leibniz, that people quote both as a scientist and a philosopher, which is funny. And he's the one that came up with that line, the best of all possible worlds. And this is while people were, you know, in gross numbers being wiped out by the plague. And you're just like, yeah, it's all part of the wonderful, spectacular plan. Just come on. It's, you know. Well, you know, there's so many, you know, just stories that just don't make any sense, you know, where everything just starts to work out for somebody and they get diagnosed with, you know, double cancer or something. You're just, what the fuck? You know, it just sucks. Anyway, you know, to think there's some intelligent driver to that nonsense. And, yeah. So, I mean, you can still see things, you know, that nature created, you know, that are pleasant and pretty and pleasing to the senses in some way. You know, even very nice odors or some other kind of thing. So you could even talk about that in the sense of flowers, honeysuckle or something, if it appeals to you. I mean, some people don't like certain smells, so there's no point in talking about them generically. But anyway, and, you know, so yes, it's a bug planet, okay, but we can still appreciate that it has some things in it that are, you know, not decidedly ugly in some way. You know, it's so hard to defend anything because everything is just part of, it's like, you know, it's like being impressed by the lion or something and then watching it, you know, eat a human being, you know, and watching that as a spectacle. It's just, well, it kind of taints the whole thing. You know, and the butterfly is first the caterpillar who, you know, decimates the food source. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's the context without some kind of designer, you end up with just saying, okay, so the only parts of this thing we like are the parts that we've sort of been constructed to like. You know, just basically doing the community building and the the interactions that'll lead to reproductivity. You know, you can't even, I mean, it's pretty hard to argue that we were monogamous, you know, by some sort of nature. So it's a similar argument to like the vegetarian argument. We're kind of distant from the animals that we were, and I think clearly the animal that we were, okay, the alphas got most of the babes and the betas got very little leftovers, you know, whatever they could incidentally fuck around with. And, you know, that's the way it worked. It wasn't some, you know, some permanent social relationship or something, because we weren't like geese. You know, it wasn't a big deal, this find a mate thing. It was kind of a trivial deal in some ways. It was just relieving an itch, you know. And it didn't have much to do with anything bigger or bolder than that. Like I said, especially when we were social animals, because then it was really kind of like a pride of lions, you know. I think, you know, there was the winners and the losers, and, you know. But anyway, Yeah, that's it. Yeah, take a break. All right, back. So I was thinking about the habits and the filters that create your model and the context. And so we all build it, okay, from elemental pieces, and then we have to keep monitoring our model and see if it's actually a boat that floats, you know, if it obeys the rules, you know, if there's not obvious contradictions in what we're claiming to be true. And I think that's about the only one that's really important in terms of any laws or reasoning, you know, is that, yeah, you can't believe two different, you can't be a hypocrite, okay? You certainly shouldn't be a duplicitous hypocrite in terms of you shouldn't be contriving fakenesses and lies to defend some sort of perverse double standards and all that kind of crap. But anyway, so we all build it a piece at a time, and we, you know, a bunch of facts are thrown at us, and we have to glean which ones are important and which ones have something to do with context and reality. And again, I'd say, you know, you're starting off being confused and lied to, you know, with all this fake silver lining shit, Santa Claus shit, Easter rabbit shits, and then the whole big gigantic pile of crap of the whole religious structure. And you have to, you know, be able to find some way to say there's something wrong with this theory. And until you know there's a good alternative theory, you're stuck with, what else is there to believe? What's my other choice? You know, and in trying to invent it all on your own, like, where did everything come from? And how does it all get here? And but, you know, and you can do all that trying to figure it out. But, you know, until somebody gives you the guidelines, at least, and you're going to be out of luck and to truly understand. So I'd say that Darwin was fairly good at doing the simple thing, okay? I mean, you could read the book, but you really don't need to read the book to get the idea that, okay, you don't need some kind of entity on the planet to oblige organisms to be constructed very well. All you need to have is some sort of natural selection, some sort of circumstance that forces things to meet the standards, or they don't get to, it's not that they don't get to replicate, but they don't get to replicate successfully. That is, they don't win when they go to war, you know, with others, unless they've, you know, acquired some good functional variation in their function. You know, their head became pointier or some silly thing that gave them an advantage in the fight. And that's what we're the product of. And so that's just a giant fact to just sit there inside your model of reality. It's just recognizing that that's all you're the byproduct of is millions, hundreds of millions of years of natural selection, engineering, you know, surviving mechanisms. And clearly for a lot of these simian type that we came, they're our closest relatives, being a little bit clever, you know, being able to figure how to, you know, stick a stick in a hole and get a bug out or some other kind of bullshit was advantageous, you know, knowing, probably being able to figure out seasons and to some extent, you know, that certain fruit isn't edible until it's ripe. You know, they could figure out different things that kept them ahead of the dumber organisms. You know, you can go with different things, you know, that have like elephants, you know, they have a whole bunch of stuff where they, you know, they have a certain migratory path and they all take the same path and they all do the same, you know, that this is where the elephant graveyard stuff came from. It's because they can pass that on generation to generation. And it's just a habit, something learned about this is how you navigate the planet and this is how you do better. This works, so do this. So that whole idea of passing down intelligence, being able to teach your children well, you know, and is all part of having an advantage as a competing organism. And so you could argue that those are lots of mammals have intelligence because it provides these advantages. I've, you know, barely scratched the surface probably of all the ways it comes in handy. And especially comes in handy in the fact that it makes you capable of living in different environments and succeeding in those environments by, you know, practicing and failing and learning from that. Watch your, watch somebody run up to the, the animal you think is harmless that, shoots a bunch of quills into your face or something. And then, well, I don't need to do it because he already did it. And I can see how that fails, so I'm not going to do that. So we can learn from watching other people fail, which is sort of also, it's just kind of depressing that that's how it had to work, that, all these millions of years of evolution and all of the, horrible failure that we benefited from. It's all quite bleak. So look, the model has an evolution. We happen to be the smartest thing, on the planet in terms of their capacity to do this intelligence thing. And we only really have it because of vocabulary. So, we became an organism that, I would argue we gave away some, our vision and our sense of smell and our senses are a little duller than the other animals because we're using that brain space to create the space necessary for this translator, for this instrument that can take an image and put a label name on it and then put that label name in a context of a bunch of other images and that whole cascading thing. And, that's a key difference. So it's not so much about how big our brain is, it's about how it organizes the information. And, again, I could argue that clearly we ended up with this capacity to do language before we had a language to do language with, one that was substantial enough to be useful. But clearly, once you have it, then you can store all this information on books and do all of that stuff that we did and get to this point where, we can actually contemplate our existence, that we can actually build a real model of a whole globe in a solar system. None of the animals can do any of that. They can't know anything about the reality they're stuck in. Their model is so small in terms of the pieces. I shouldn't say small because it's obviously they have a lot more detail. I mean, they're smelling each other's urine, and figuring out who's who. I mean, that's what I mean by our senses are so much duller. They're capable of deriving so much more information from their senses. And we are able to derive a whole bunch of information through our imagination and through our capacity to, move the pieces around and a lot more pieces. Where their model of their world just revolves around these desires and they have this little bit of information. I'm sure they have some concept of tree versus grass versus bush, that they can identify the difference, but they don't have a word for it, not a consistent one. They each just think of it as something, they'll place a label on it, big nose. fatty. I'm sure they have some sort of label that they place on things where they've identified the difference between things that are obviously different. So they have a little bit of language in the sense that they probably recognize ideas like tall or wide, hard versus soft, tasty versus repulsive. I'm sure they have some the kernels of a language. But until you can make that language common to everybody, it's not of much value, in terms of being able to build it using more than one brain, so to speak. and improve the knowledge base based on more than one person's experience. All of that exponentially grew, you know, once we had written languages. So, you know, this is all stuff, you could probably, that's the other thing, though. I mean, I wish there were better videos on YouTube going through this stuff, because I could argue that the people who are supposed to be professionals at this kind of crap always get lost in some sort of nonsense and minutiae that couldn't possibly matter. So they do a pretty poor job of explaining something that's just this basic natural selection. You're building robots, machines to compete, and that's all there really is. And there's nothing more to the story than that from the mechanical, material, energy, matter position. There's nothing else that's influencing. And then it's only through, us being able to understand conceptually how the model's working that, it's sort of meaningful that we're able to achieve a capacity to now analyze so deeply that we can understand there's different tissues inside of the tree. And we can understand something kind of weird, the whole idea that the dead tissue is vital to keeping the tree alive. The living part is just this little surface on the outside that's, essentially growing on its, its dead skeleton. And stuff that's supposed to be going up is going down, and stuff going down is going up. You shouldn't need any help pushing stuff down, right? But that's the stuff that's actually alive, and the stuff pushing stuff up is the stuff that's dead. Which doesn't seem intuitive. But anyway, so there's lots of, detail and interesting features that we can add to the model, and they're all really interesting. And so then once you get to this idea of the brain functioning, you can understand that, okay, so the brain does have this reactive, triggerable, it's almost of two minds. Okay, the mind that contains the model, the mind that, recognizes patterns, and then this shitty other part, that panics, that creates these sensations of reward and punishment, and it ends up in a way punishing you for seeing the truth. So, just as I'm describing doing this video, I'm somehow being punished, emotionally punished by this sense of feudalism and failure, and it's just impossible because people are way too stupid. They can't listen to anything. They don't hear what you're saying. They're just obnoxious fanatics, and they won't even read the other guy's Bible, so to speak. They'll just say their God is God, and you can't tell a better story than the story in my book. My book is the best book ever, and no other story could possibly be better or realer or more accurate than my silly fucking story. And that's all they do, is react. And it just becomes a club fight, us against them. It's all really depressing. It's depressing. It just takes all the energy out of you to realize, just how many weapons the Goliath has and how futile your little, I'm going to throw a rack at him. It's a really dismal position to be in. And hard to be, like I said, hard to generate any biological sense of enthusiasm and accomplishment and success. And instead, it's just very defeating and unmotivating, which it should be exactly the opposite way around. If my brain was smart enough to know wait a minute, there's no other choice but fighting. Okay, so there's no point in me feeling bad. I need to feel good. So, I need to be able to play my best game, not my worst game. That kind of crap. And so you can see how broken it is, how inefficient it is, because it's designed by a crude frickin' system. The system doesn't understand all this nuance. So it's just doing something that's good for animals that have a very simple, dumb, crude model of fight and flight. But as soon as you get into a model that's a little more complicated, then either you run away or you fight it, you know, and that there's nuance to it where you can run up a tree and then fight, you know, drop a rock on its head, you know, where there's strategies involved, all of a sudden that fails. You know, that simple reward and that simply triggered reward and punishment system just doesn't work. You know, and that's the tragedy, I would argue, of this whole adventure of trying to get to the truth, is you have to fight through all of the nonsense emotions that just cloud the argument field. The battlefield of ideas is just totally cluttered, you know, with generalities and pigeonholing and misrepresentations and fake, you know, well, they're eating all of our cats and dogs, you know, some kind of crap like that, you know, where, yes, they're a blight for lots of reasons, but this isn't the one you pick on, you know, and then you admit the truth. I mean, it's like all these systems, you know, it's just, you know, people are just pretending, I want the value of my house to continue to increase, but I also want a decline in our population. Oh, wait a minute, that won't work, will it? No, no. But it is, you know, there's so many catches to it, because, you know, now you have to have so many more people. You have to grow so large, because there's lots of people who want to make money building houses, because the housing prices have gotten so high that you can build a new house for half the cost of the existing houses. And so there's lots of money to be made by building new houses, because their market value, they're new and shiny and pretty, and they cost less, you know. So there's a lot of money to be made. So that's a real problem, you know, because obviously the prices can't be sustained where they are unless you have somebody to buy them. And, you know, but, so I don't want to get into, I'm just saying, see, that's another model, you know, modeling the economy, modeling all these different things you can model. And you get the model right, or you can get the model fucktarded. And, you know, just have some imaginary notion that, well, rich people will make us all rich if their boats are floating, I mean, flying, I mean, you know, up in the heavens, actually, somehow we're not going to drown down here. You know, 600, what do they call them? What do you call those things? Fathoms, you know. so, you know, whatever. Just so much bullshit. So, I mean, all of it is wrong. So all these people, everybody has, I mean, I just, you know, so, I mean, even the people who agree with me will say things and do things, and you'll say, geez, you know, if you got what I was saying, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't do that, okay? This is almost mocking the subject. And so it's hard to find anything, you know, where you say, ah, yeah, there it is. Okay, so I'm onto it, because there, you know, we have somebody else from a different position drew to the same conclusions, and everything's matching quite well. Well, there's just no example of that, unfortunately. Now, there's more of it on this channel than the physics channel, I'd concede. But, you know, the fact is the other channel is more right. I mean, it's more easily proven to be right, you know, and that's the part that bothers me, is that even when you can prove what you're arguing, it's not just a philosophical argument, it really has some sort of evidence you can pile up and facts you can put together, and you can see the contradictions, you can see where there's a paradox, where there's a conflict, a hypocrisy, two things can't be true, and you can illustrate it plainly. And the morons will still cling to their shitty, broken bullshit model. And that's discouraging. I mean, it's, oh, shit. This is what I'm arguing with? This is going to be a long road. You know, and I'm tired of it. You know, my feet has lumps on it. I'm feeling Yeah, I'm just feeling like a callus. It's just, oh God, that's all that's left of me. You know, there's no me left. There's no, there's nothing in it for me, you know, kind of thing. It's just lost all of its, but it doesn't matter. See, the good news is the rest of life has all, I've been eviscerated of any ambition or expectation. And so I don't, you know, the things I'd rather do are sleep. You know, there's no to-do list except go to sleep. Get the hell out of here, even if it's only for a few hours. So anyway, it's very quite bleak. No, I was just thinking, so as soon as I clicked the pause button, you know, things pop in your head, you're just like, I was just saying how much I would enjoy a war against trolls, you know, or internet spammers or any of that. I just love it. You know, I'd love to have a sword and go out there and stab the motherfuckers right in their goddamn eyes. I love to just, you know, just in every way brutalize these scum. You know, the glib nihilists, you know, have a war against nihilism. You know, instead of the commies or the chinks or whatever the fuck people are all upset about, the Muslims. I understand the Muslim thing. I sort of, you know, I can get that. They're fucking trolls. But anyway, yeah, you just, oh, you know, and you have that thought and you're just saying, gee, that's just, oh. But yeah, that's the monkey. The monkey's still in here, okay? You know, the gorilla beating its chest kind of thing. And there's just part of me that just wants a, you know, I want a real fight. I want to be able to, sink your teeth into it. Yeah, it's just, you know, obviously you can't do any of that. And it's just kind of disturbing that it pleases me to think about it or imagine it. And it shouldn't, but it does, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm just trying to think of some meat product I could say I still imagine as being tasty, but not really. Chicken, maybe. But all the rest of it, I'm not off fish, let's say. If somebody threw a fish in my face, I could probably eat that. But anyway, my psychology isn't really matching my philosophy in the sense that I'm supposed to be this person who understands that there's no point in any unnecessary pain and there's no point in blah, 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 and all that crap. But here's the inconsistency, because emotionally, you know, I have all this appropriately associated hatred towards this enemy, the thing that's in the way of the salvation thing, you know, cleaning the water or cleaning the air or however you want to, you know, fixing the big broken. Is getting rid of the blight of this scum. So I kind of can't help, you know, getting energized and feeling invigorated a little bit by the hate, you know, and just having that opportunity to smite the fuckers. But anyway, so it's just kind of a side subject. So obviously this is not a, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can, you know, you can't really fix the fact that you're going to find things. I mean, sort of the argument you can make about, let's say you're a 64-year-old man and, you know, some 18-year-old tart comes walking up to you and just, you know, oh, I want you so bad. And the fact is, you know, seducible. It's a fact. All right, I won't let that happen. But there's a part of me that just says, shit, I'm going to really have to work to make that not happen. I mean, I'm going to have to really, and that's the irony. You know, nothing good could come of it, so to speak, in a way. But you'll pretend that somehow, yes, it'll be a win-win somehow. Yeah, it's a chance, but it's just such a little, you have to really turn your head sideways and look at it just right to find the chance. it's a good idea. It's worth the risk. Maybe not. I mean, if you're feeling, yourself twisting the model, and starting to look, trying to find some way. Oh, yeah, there's a little tiny crack there. So if I hit there, I can go all the way to the other side. Some kind of bullshit way to get through the facts, to get what you want. Shit. But it's all part of this fun. Anyway, so that was probably relevant in some way. But anyway, it gets to the whole model thing and the fact that your psychology is not your friend. And that's really disappointing because it should be so much better if your psychology could be organized to, facilitate what you need to get done. So you could just say, well, I need to be enthusiastic. I need to be strong. I need to be this. Instead of your psychology giving you exactly the opposite pill than the one you need. I mean, that's what it does for me. So my experience is that I've always been, if there was a biorhythm thing, I was always, when you needed to be up, it's down, just never matched very well. Occasion to disposition, I could never really fit my disposition, my state of mind, my mood to the circumstance I was in. But in some respects, I have to say that probably some of it kept you out of trouble. But again, that's probably because I was more risk averse anyway. Because for me, the model was complete pretty young, where I felt quite terrorized, and I quite knew that I was in trouble, that I was going to have to figure out some way to navigate this thing, because I didn't see any, it looked like just muddy walls, and there's just no way you're going to, just swim your way out of this hole. it's going to take some kind of trickery or connivory or schemery for me to possibly find some way to get across this, alligator filled river. All right, so I was thinking, how to constructively do this communicating thing without making these kind of videos, I suppose. Try to convey the ideas and what's to argue about. So sort of diagramming like the conversation with the mystic, in the sense that, okay, I place this material universe, it's dumb, okay? I'm arguing it's really simple. We don't have to agree on that, I guess. You just have to concede that, yes, it is possible that it's not created by anything intelligent, that this isn't a matrix or some other bullshit. A more complex simulation. There's other dimensions, and there's all kinds of holy ghosts in them, and hobgoblins, and whatever, and they're all fiddling with our quantum dispositions, or whatever the shit is, anyway. So, it was always just a mechanical universe for me, okay? I heard all that other crap, and it all just said, fuck you, because it's just matter being pushed around by force, and it's just nothing more complicated than that. Anyway, so it's this simple elemental universe. It does this chemistry thing. the chemistry thing turns to biology once it creates this replicating piece of protein, you know, this molecule that can make a copy of itself. And then once it makes the copy of itself, it makes a, you know, ends up cell, and then the single cell becomes nucleic cell. So it eats another cell, and the cell survives inside of another cell. And then it replicates in the sense that it's a two-celled reproduction. So somehow the one cell makes two cells. Okay. It comes out two, you know, it's like a, you know, one of those mutations or one of those twins, Siamese twins or something. So it's a Siamese cell. And now you're off to the races in terms of now all you have to do is make the Siamese twin different than the one you made here. And now you have features on one. You know, this can be your battleship and this can be your, you know, love boat. And so you can put the features on different cells. And now you're off to the races in terms of making all kinds of organisms and features and mechanisms. And then eventually you take that two cell, you know, the model that can make more than one cell. Okay, instead of like a sponge that makes the same cell over and over, you have a cell that can make different cells, different copies of itself, different versions of itself with these different features on it. So you have liver and you have kidney and you have this and spleen and all this different kind of crap. And then that just leads to, you know, the neuron happens. One-time event. So again, it's not likely chemistry. It's the only point I'm trying to make here. So you just have this idea that, okay, it's making these little biological machines, but these biological machines take billions of years to evolve, at least hundreds of millions. And again, they're just machines that have gotten, it's insanely complex. So 100 billion neurons just in our brain. You know, I don't know what the total is for a whole human body, but it's an insane number of cells made out of an insane number of atoms. You know, so just incredible, unimaginable, truly unimaginable complexity. But you can understand it's a simple mechanism that's making the complexity. So I could have a very complex geology, and you can know that it's just time. You know, time lays all these layers, blah, blah, blah. No big... There's nothing profound in the fact that it's just an insane amount of something. So you could look at a beach and you could say, oh, there's so many grains of sand and each one has a history. Each and every one of them has a little history. You know, could I document that? You know, one grain of sand. Oh, where were you? Oh, okay, where were you? You know, no, it's an insane, imponderable task to model that. To know all the context for the entire beach, just so we can't know all the context of our evolution, but we can know the pattern of it. And the pattern is you're just making machines that survive environments. And as the environment changes, you know, we went from 10 degrees Celsius warmer as the temperature of the Earth, the surface of the Earth, and it's 10 degrees colder. And now we're, you know, putting the stuff that made it colder, you know, the carbon that got sunk, and we're unsinking it, so we're going to make it warmer again. You know, those kind of logical facts, okay, that's just part of the history and the pattern, and just understanding these organisms and what the hell they're doing here. And then, you know, again, we have this faculty to do this exact thing, to create a model of our history and understand exactly what our features are. And our feature, the big feature, the subject of this video would have been, is we're just a bunch of habits. You know, we get indoctrinated in a mantra of existence where we just become a them or a them or one of them or one of them. And we just ride on the bandwagon that says, you know, thems, you know, whatever, and because we have been adapted to that environment where, and that's the problem with humans, is they can adapt to any environment. So you could put them in the, you know, the Muslim garb or the, you know, the Catholic garb or whatever garb, you know, the uniform, and they'll behave the part, because it's all just traditions and habits, you know, what they're raised on becomes their definition of food and music and what what pleases their senses and what repulses their senses. Remember, there was some country, I think it's kind of a Muslim one, but anyway, where they've essentially sort of evolved men to be attracted to, quite grotesquely obese women. And you can see some of that happening in our culture, frankly. And you're just saying, wow, how could you do that? I'm saying it just because, I have the exact opposite instinct. It really doesn't appeal to me. Weight. big, giant, bumblebee humans, girls. That idea of the big, giant female doesn't really do much for me. There's no visceral, mechanical system that reacts and say, gee, that's hot. And, I have all the other kinds of reactions. Now, most of that could just be cultural. I'm sure there's some genetic component, but that's the thing, is this isolated culture that's sort of inbreeding, okay? It's not inbreeding like they're all with their own family, but I just mean if you have like a million people and they only breed within that group, you could understand that they could probably end up genetically different over time. That's a piece of model I'd say, okay, that's not stuff you write in permanent ink, okay? That's a pencil drawing of a possibility. So it's not really part of what I'm trying to argue here. It just got a little sidetracked in arguing about the the mechanism. But anyway, it's just such a big part of the story is evolution. It's just this big, giant thing, and everything else is going to come out of that some way or another in terms of the meaning and relevance of almost everything else is out of the idea that it's just making bugs. I mean, we can call ourselves human, we can say we're something other than, but we're just fancier bugs. We're in the same category. We haven't broken the model entirely because we're still controlled by hormones and bits of chemistry and some programming, some reflexes, there's some that we still have, like a fear of snakes and some sense of height and falling down. Even babies will avoid falling, into nothing. So I think that's because we lived in trees for a while, and they had to figure out that, you don't step where there's no ground. You had to be kind of born knowing that. So you can see that in most mammals. Again, this is another reason why we have this intelligence, is most mammals are born and they're ready to go. They're not fully capable. But they can walk, they can run, they can do the things necessary, and humans are completely disabled, which clearly illustrates the fact that we've compromised functionality for the brain to be able to be organized to become a meme engine, to become a creature of the environment, to allow the environment to nurture it rather than to have instincts. So clearly the nature-nurture thing was broken by the very fact, in another big way, by the fact that we are born both mentally and physically crippled and have to learn, almost everything. Almost. Yeah. So anyway, so there'd be a first line of facts, and the facts would be, this is sort of the mystic is saying this, but he's saying it in a completely different way, and he's so full of shit. There's really no conversation. If you're going to do this God thing, well then fuck it, okay? There's nowhere to go with that. So you're going to live and die for your God. I'm going to live and die to kill your fucking God because it's such a stupid, moronic, idiotic, retarded idea. It's a dumb notion. There's no evidence of it. It's just the worst thing you can do. It's like poison to logic and reasoning to believe something without good reason, without any evidence. And that's all you're doing. You've taken a a reasoning machine, a calculator, and you've turned it into garbage because you've taught it that 2 + 2 = 7. So it won't do anything good. It won't do anything useful. Completely broken. And who wants to waste a bunch of time going through all the apologetics of a religious nonsense? I mean, it is glaringly insufficiently evidenced and in so many ways insufficient. Like, who the fuck would want your God to be real? It's so bad. I mean, a God who didn't tell us about morphine, who didn't, you know, just let literally gazillions of feeling organisms suffer unnecessarily. Fuck you and your God. If that's your hero, you're my enemy for sure. But anyway. So then the rest of the argument is just with assholes who can't do this 2 + 2, this A, B, C thing. Okay, A, chemistry, matter, dumb universe, makes bugs who think they're special, okay, but they can know they're not so special, they're just more complicated, and have a lot more stuff to do imagining with, okay, have a lot more colors in their palette, so they can make more elaborate images, more pixels to work with, and the fact is that all they're doing is being motivated by crude ambitions and the motivators are very crude and trivial. The price paid for satisfaction of those silly little narratives, I want to be a winner, I'm going to be a winner, I'm going to get the gold medal, I'm going to do this, I'm struggle, fight, win. It's nothing, it's trivial. And it's all for, and the price paid is this insane amount of carnage in terms of horrific sickness, disability, and death. Too high a price, don't pay it. So it's really that simple, okay? Now you're just arguing which one of these facts do you say is wrong, okay? And how do you defend saying that there's something wrong with that simple logic that, especially if I'm going to use somebody else's pain to justify my gratification, how that fixes anything at all. If I wouldn't pay the price shouldn't be paid. And that's the simple logic. So if I don't want to be a victim, I don't want to be a slave, then I can't defend the system that creates slaves. And so if your system's creating victims, if your system is horrifically not giving people what they deserve, or what they've earned, or what they've asked for, then your system isn't good enough. The game ain't worth playing. Yeah. I mean, if you're killing the spectators, you know, come on. It's bad enough if you're killing the other players, but if you start killing the spectators, it should be illegal to sell a ticket. All right. And certainly to make force somebody to march in this hideous torture parade. Yeah. I mean, that's a way of analogizing, I suppose. It's just a parade of, wincible horror. And you fuckers are sitting there with your, I'm number one. Aren't we number one? Torture, this doesn't really happen, does it? I mean, it's just electrons and protons and stuff. How could they make torture? That couldn't happen. Let's just pretend it doesn't happen. Yeah, there. It happens to me, but it doesn't happen to any of them. It's important to me. I don't get no nails in my eye. But I don't care if they do. Because I'm intelligent. I'm a human. I'm a lot better than a bug. Oh, fuck. Really, is that bad? Anyway. Okay, so yeah, that's enough of the video. I believe it's enough. If there's something that inspires me, I will tack on some more But yes, so maybe I'll figure out some way to draw that picture or create that idea of, look, this is the simple drawing of the model. These are the only things worth arguing about. And so if you're going to pretend feelings don't exist, even though they're happening, obviously, fuck you. Yeah, I mean, it's just too ridiculous, you know. It's too ridiculous. All right, so until the next time and such.